Road.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence, see fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud, sounds better with us.
And welcome back to this week's Fess Up with me, Liz Dwyer.
And me, Nikki Dwyer.
We are back to chat about all things aesthetics, beauty, wellness, and the wild world of, I don't know, biohacking, longevity, you name it. Anything to keep us looking and feeling younger for longer.
And it's all with thanks to Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie. We are so excited today. We are interviewing Mandy Maher from the Platform Agency and Catwalk Agency. Mandy is a stalwart in that kind of industry, and she is surrounded all day, every day, in supermodels and influencers and...
like an Irish Tyra Banks.
She is an Irish Tyra Banks. Like, she's very interesting.
Not half as much of a bitch, though.
Not half as much as a bitch. And she's very... she's beautiful looking. And I don't think she's had a whole lot done, though.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to...
get her take on it.
Yeah, because like sometimes I see her at like awards and stuff, and she's... and then like I've also seen her in her leggings going for the walk and stuff. I'm interested to see what she actually gets done.
And what does she say to her models? Does she say, march them all into the Botox clinic? Or
like back in the day, like Tyra Banks,
you
need to eat cotton... what do they do? Cotton
wool and frozen grapes or something?
I can't remember something. Yeah. No, it still looks...
anyway, excited for that chat later on.
Excited to meet Mandy.
Nikki, this week we need to talk about the fact that the Love Islanders are getting... trolled effectively because the girls are being... the young girls, they are young.
They're all in their 20s, early 20s, yeah.
And everyone's like, why do they look so old? And then on the flip side, there's going to be a TikTok backlash, and it's people saying, actually, what's really weird is people in their 20s look in their 40s and people in their 40s look in their 20s. What's going on?
We did a little Instagram post on this. I think it's really interesting. Mm. So firstly, I think the young ones are... the young ones are all like... trying to look the same, right? So they're all going for this very homogenized look of
which
beauty.
Is wide cheeks.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. Like, let's get cheek filler, let's get chin filler, let's get lip filler.
Yeah, so let's get the brow lift.
Yeah, and also let's all have the hair extensions with the bouncy blow dry.
Yeah.
The long pointy nail extensions, the fee brows, the eyelashes.
A lot of them probably have rhinoplasties.
And the big white ridiculous teeth. I think it's all this homogenized beauty is a very fake beauty. And I think it's...
says the natural queen over there.
No,
now.
But I know, but I'm...
once
not...
off your freaking high horse.
Listen, I'm not trying to change myself, though. That's the point. I like...
sorry.
I'm trying to enhance myself. And I'm trying to preserve myself, but I'm not trying to change myself.
Right. And I'm not trying to change yourself into a younger version of you.
No, I'm not. No, I'm trying to look like a less knackered 42-year-old version of myself.
Are you 42 or 43?
I actually... somebody sent me on Instagram the other day saying, you're not 43, you're 42. And I was like, I am 43. She was like, you're not. And I was like, I was born in 1981. She was like, I had to break it to you. That means you're not 43 yet. So I'm actually 42. Anyhow, so sorry. I think the reason why they all look older than they are is because they're all trying to go for a homogenized look.
I have a different theory.
As opposed to trying to enhance and work with what they have.
So do you want to hear my theory?
Go on.
Okay, so I think it's actually the fault of the filler companies.
Mm.
Okay, because when we started with filler 20 years ago, it was very liquidy and it was generally used for like tiny little pockets. It didn't last very long. It just was a mild kind of enhancement. And then obviously as the market for filler grew, the pharmaceutical companies started making filler that lasted longer, that was thicker, that was stronger, that almost, people say, make you grow features at this point. And it became cheaper as well. And also everyone started injecting it, right? So it was like there's just been an explosion of people, bad fillers, first of all, and people using long lasting fillers and people injecting it who don't really know what they're doing. And obviously price then comes into it. And younger generation are obviously much more price sensitive. And they're going to be like, I want the deal. I don't really care if this one doesn't have a PhD in dermatology.
By the time they're 20 something, they've been doing fillers for a few years.
This is it. And we never really had that. Someone also pointed out on Instagram, was really interesting point. They were like, none of them are paying rent. They're all living at home. So hence they all have money for getting fillers. And maybe...
same in the UK as well.
I don't know, but certainly over here, like a lot of the generation, I'm not saying the reason they don't.
Well, the average age of them moving out is 28, apparently.
I'm not saying that they're not moving out because they're spending all their rent money on fillers, but it was just an interesting observation. Mm. But I definitely think, so that generation, like, we might have spent money on fake tan and so forth, but they are going straight for the filler and they're going for the deals. They don't know what filler that's going into them. Mm. Fillers are thicker, and also they're shopping around, which, I mean, from a consumer point of view, sounds savvy, but when you shop around for doctors, you have different doctors putting in different types of filler.
It's layering.
Different techniques, and they're layering different brands on top of each other, and they're not dissolving and they're not disappearing. And then they're getting this kind of protrusions on their face, which, as you're saying, they're starting to get homogenous, and therefore they go into that housewives look, as I call
it. So that bleeding, the filler bled.
Yeah, sorry, migration.
What's the word I'm looking for? Migration.
Yeah.
That's that real. I look at them and I go, oh, Jesus.
I know. But look, they think they look deadly and they look great. But I suppose objectively, people are going, they look older. And look, then on the other side, it's like, if they feel like they look great and they feel like they're gorgeous, sure, what's wrong with it? But I suppose...
Well, I think what's wrong with it is that they're physically altering their bodies, as opposed to like when we were that age. We are. But the thing is, we're doing it at 40-something, right? Like when you were that age...
Yes. If I had the money and I had access to it,
well, you did,
absolutely,
and you did
would have been all over
things.
It. Like, yeah. It would have been only a tiny bit, like it wasn't accessible the way it is now. I would have been all over it. And also, like, you're very vulnerable as well at 20, and you're still not maybe fully confident in yourself. Look, Jesus, I'm fucking mid-40s and I'm still not there. But you're definitely much more susceptible to trends.
And also wanting to fit in and belong.
Yeah, and look hot, basically.
I always think... For me, the real, not the acid test, but I suppose the real good example was Heidi in The Hills.
What was her surname?
I want to call her Heidi Montana, but that's absolutely...
Heidi Montag.
Montag, is that right?
And she was married to Spencer. They called themselves Spidey, remember?
Spidey, yeah. But she would have been 20-nothing. And
yeah.
Remember she got 10... And everyone's like, she's had 10 surgeries in the same day. But actually, it's what we now know to be like facelift with the bleph, with the nose flip. And she came out looking... like a 40-something-year-old Real Housewife of Beverly Hills trying to look like a young...
Yes.
So that is the... That's what's happening.
I think, because maybe that's why, because that look is what we would have associated with, as we said, the rich Hollywood women trying to look younger. Do you know?
Because it's the trying to look younger thing, right? As opposed to...
Yes.
Which is where the nuance is. As opposed to the 40-year-olds.
Yes.
The housewives and the whatever else, right? And us, maybe, I don't know.
Like, I'm sure we fall into that category.
No, but that, as this comes back to the thing, we're not trying to change ourselves. I'm not trying to alter my face or alter my body. I just don't want to look wrecked.
Okay.
And I don't think it's a makeup thing as well.
I think it's a little bit of everything, but it's an interesting observation. But look, at the same time, every generation has its trends. Mm. Every generation has its thing.
What was your thing back in the dizzy day?
Everyone just wanted to be skinny. It was super
important.
You
and the hair extensions.
Hair extensions.
Not hair extensions, hair pieces.
Hair pieces and skinny. You had to be skinny. It was all about being skinny. And like,
you were the Kate Moss generation.
Yeah, and we were all like, we had to. In school, we only had popcorn and Diet Coke. And you had one Malteser a day. That was the diet.
Crazy.
Schoolgirl diet, yeah. And
Marlboro Lights.
Marlboro Lights. Oh, Jesus, we were mad for the Marlboro Lights. And if you couldn't get your hand on Marlboro Lights, you'd smoke whatever. You could rob off your parents. So yes, being skinny was the thing. That was the kind of go-to thing.
And mine was Gwen Stefani and her tiny eyebrows.
Yeah.
And all my pals did the same. We all plucked our eyebrows into one tiny little line. And
which smiled when you think about it compared to what they're doing now. But again, I don't know. Look, each generation has their own little nuance.
So what's our take home from this is, like, work with what you have. And
oh, not really. I'm just like, look, girls, calm down the filler. And
learn to love yourself.
Oh, Christ.
Can you believe that's where we're at? But it's true. It's true, though. Because at 40 something, you
spend the money on a therapist instead of
Spend the money on therapy instead of filler. The end.
Okay. Next, we're going on to the rate bowl section of the podcast, where we rate treatments that come out of this magic bowl.
Can you hear it?
Ed has actually made
a bowl. I'm so obsessed that you hear this just to prove that it's really happening. Okay, rate bowl.
Rate bowl. What does the rate bowl have with
this
today?
What have we written this? It's coming up. It's coming through. Ooh, rhinoplasty.
Oh, yeah. I'd love a rhinoplasty. I really would. And the older, the more I want it. It's mad.
What did you get?
I don't. I think I probably will. Yeah.
You've cleaned.
I've had a liquid rhinoplasty.
I've
had filler put in my nose to take away from the bumpiness of it.
But let's talk about what a rhinoplasty is. Yes. And
it's a nose job.
Then let's talk about liquid rhinoplasty. Or do you want to do it the other way around?
No, it doesn't matter. It's a nose job. Surgical rhinoplasty. It's a
where they break the bones.
They don't necessarily break them anymore.
Or sometimes they shave them or replace them or move them around or whatever.
Yeah, and it's aggressive surgery. And
it's a very skilled surgery.
Yeah, and the recovery is, it's getting much better according to Instagram. Anyway, people seem to bounce back days or two afterwards. But anyone I know who's had a rhinoplasty has literally been in hiding and looks like their face is absolutely battered and bruised for 2-3 weeks.
Well, I think what happens is you get those pressure black eyes, right?
Yeah, really extreme. And I've had friends who've done it and they were like, they've woken up a week later, or not woken up, sorry, a week later, they're like, why in God's name would I put myself through this for the sake of vanity or whatever? And but then 2 weeks later, they're like, no, I love it, I love it.
I think rhinoplasties are, like, some of them are so transformative. Oh. Jen Aniston, perfect example.
Who? Like
Jennifer Aniston.
She had a rhinoplasty.
What are you talking about? Okay, everybody, Google Jen Aniston before the nose job as we speak. Yeah, she had a big thick nose. Now she's a thin, like, little button nose.
It's like the Hollywood nose. They all get the same nose over there. It's like copy and paste.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Love Islanders all looking the same. The Hollywood, they all get the same nose.
But they're really good nose jobs, Jen Aniston. You don't know that they've had it done.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's the generic nose is the bad nose, right?
Yes.
But your man, the guy who invented the scarless rhinoplasty. So he goes in through your nostril and does, so there's no scars at all. So your nose is completely reshaped internally without there being any stitches out externally, which is amazing.
But I know they use a lot of sound and sonic technology now, whereby they use like sonic vibrations to reshape the cartilage. So the breaking of the bones as such is mitigated a lot.
Yeah.
As is like the bruising of the facial structure and so forth. And there's a few other ways to do them. So not all surgeons have the same technique by any means.
No. And also, which is interesting because we know Dee Fitzgerald, she's an ENT surgeon.
Yeah. She did my nose, my real nose, as in she did my...
Your real nose?
As in she did the inside of my nose and fixed my sinus.
So she's an ENT, so ears, nose, throat. So she is a specialist in sinus. And
she does rhinoplasty as well.
I asked her, would she do it at the same time?
While I was in getting the sinuses sorted, she was like, no, absolutely not.
She said the problem with rhinoplasties being done in an entirely plastic, from an entirely plastic point of view, it doesn't take into consideration the actual function
of your nose.
Yeah.
That thing you need to breathe.
Yeah, that thing you need to breathe. And then if you don't breathe properly, it has all these other issues like sleep apnea and brain, like brain's not getting enough oxygen, your cells don't get enough, blah, 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 blah. Yes. So she was like going to somebody who understands the function as well as the form.
I know there's not that many of them, though. There's not that many ENTs who like segue into plastic.
Yeah, there's a few, not in Ireland. There's one or two in Ireland, actually. But I suppose the moral of this story is, if you're going to get a nose job, get it done by somebody who understands the function.
And I would also say get it done by someone who does rhinoplasties day in, day out.
All
they do for bread and breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Because actually the fuck up rhinoplasties are absolutely car crash and very hard to fix. You've seen people with the skinny, like Michael Jackson, prime example.
Yeah.
But and then what
he
about
did like 20 or 30 of them, didn't he?
I actually listened to them, I listened to an interview with him recently. He was like, no, I've had no plastic surgery. I was like, what?
He did not.
He should have had Jacko on Fess Up. Could you imagine? No.
Get his ghost on. But liquid rhinoplasty.
So
liquid rhinoplasty is an alternative. So I don't know. I don't have the balls to do the full rhinoplasty yet. I'm probably a little bit afraid, actually.
Why?
I don't know. I just am a bit afraid of it making me look completely different. Yeah. And not being, also turning into the generic face. I'm already like halfway there with the Botox and the filler and fucking whatnot.
You might as well be. Just keep going. Sorry, anyway, so let's talk about.
So liquid rhinoplasty is a great alternative. It only lasts, they use a kind of thick filler.
It can last up to 2 years.
Up to 2 years. I've never gotten more than 9 months out of mine, unfortunately. I've got a little bumpy bit on one side of my nose and I get it filled and then they fill the little nasal bump there, so it's not as
but
bad
like it,
but it, can I tell you another thing?
It can be.
It's very good, and it like takes half an hour. It's brilliant, and it's great. It's instant gratification. You walk out and you're like, look at me, I'm fabulous. And the older you get, the bigger your nose gets. By the way, as your fat pads start receding here on your
hang cheek. On, does your fat pads start receding or does your nose keep growing?
You're both. So your fat pads on your cheeks start receding, as does the orbital bone. Your skull starts going backwards.
Periorbital.
And your nose starts going forwards. So your nose is getting
literally
bigger.
Real life Pinocchio's.
Yeah, basically. So the more you lie. And I'm joking. But no, in all serious, Yeah, so rhinoplasties, it's great in the right hands, but also it's a very skilled thing. Because the nose is so full of like hot spots for injectors. So be very careful about, make sure you go to someone who knows what they're doing, who does lots and lots of liquid rhinoplasties, and is, please let them be a medic.
Yes, 100%. This week we are very excited to have the lovely Mandy Maher on, from a fellow Galway girl.
You can't claim yourself.
I am Galway, claiming Galwegian-ness, temporary Galwegian-ness.
You lived there for 2 years. You can't claim Galway.
I can.
We welcome you with open arms.
Really?
Thank you, Mandy.
She's a blow-in, Mandy. She's
Thank
a blow-in.
You.
I am. And listen, I'm a blow-in to Galway in 30-odd years living there. So
do they still consider you a blow-in?
Yes.
Yeah, especially because you're down Kinvara. Yeah.
When it comes to the GAA, definitely, I can tell you.
Who do you support?
Galway, always.
Oh, but you have to. You'd be divorced otherwise.
Yeah, no, my boys play, so it's, I have to.
Ah, Mandy, catwalk, modelling agency, platform, influencer agency. You've been schmoozing with the stars for years. But tell us a little bit of how this kind of came about, because we had a very interesting conversation around COVID times.
We did.
And your modelling agency and your styling agency was effectively gone.
It was completely gone. Yeah. Obviously, COVID hit in on March 2020. And absolutely, to this day, nothing ever prepared me for COVID at all.
From a business point of view.
From a business
yeah.
point of view. Because obviously, everyone said everyone was going to shut down. And I says, will you stop? You're all talking nonsense. I honestly was oblivious to probably... That's the truth. Mm. I remember we did a fashion show maybe about a couple of days before everything shut down in the country, and there was people there saying, are you mad running this? There's no way they're going to shut the whole country. But little did I think, overnight, as we all know what happened, that literally
the world
full on bang gone. And in a space of the first 2 days, which was the Thursday and Friday of 48 hours, I lost over 40 fashion shows.
Wow.
Which was massive. I nearly feel probably still nearly upset over it, if that makes sense. I'm out the other end.
Because they're like your babies, right?
When completely. You're, yeah. You have an agency that's running, that's very successful. We work hard, work long hours that people don't see. They all see the glamour. Mm. They all see what we put on for maybe an hour, but not realising the hours and hours of work that goes on to put on that hour.
Yeah. Mm.
And you obviously have the worry of models during COVID as well, and making sure that they're all okay. But effectively, our business was completely wiped out.
And so what did you do?
I did pivot. I on the Friday night, when I tell my story of the second day of lockdown, full lockdown,
I literally... You pivot that quick.
Oh, no. Do you know what? I'm after having a conversation here before I came in, and I'm a grafter.
Yeah.
And when my back is to the wall, I don't like my back to a wall. So I'll push to get out, because I'm working since I'm 16 years old.
Yeah.
So I know no different but to earn a living since I'm 16. I never took maternity leave, ever. I have three kids.
What's that?
Maternity leave.
That's a magical word.
But I remember the first child, I actually had a phone call about a fashion show in the labour ward. And with my third child, I was back doing a fashion show 7 days later. So life goes on. My life doesn't stop. But I sat from the night of everything closing down and losing all the shows. I sat eating dinner with our three children, my husband, Ger, and the tears fell on my dinner plate. I says, how are we going to meet the mortgage next month?
Yeah.
Because when you work for yourself, as glamorous as it can be at times and as its advantages, the other disadvantage, probably the whole thing, is you work for your next buck. And that's what people don't see. And so I literally was distraught. And it ended up then a friend of mine about a week later rang me and she says, you need to pull yourself together. It's not you. And she just says, you're going to have to start going on your mobile phone. And I says, on my mobile phone to do what?
Yeah.
And she just says to me, you're just going to have to tell everyone you're still in business, even though you're not in business. Mm. But people need to now see you. Because even though I was always out there with the business and everyone would know me as Mandy Catwalk, whatever, but I was never really in front of the camera. I was always the person happy enough to plod away in backstage and do my job, produce shows, styling, but I was never the person probably out front.
Okay.
So I said, okay. So I literally held up my phone, felt like an absolute idiot. And I'm going, hi, everyone. I'm just coming on. And I had to do it. I had no choice. But I started then getting fairly confident probably with it, or a little bit more confident, because everyone else was doing it.
Yeah.
So then it didn't make it feel like such a... really, it wasn't really a done thing as such, really. Yeah. It was coming in slowly, really. It was always there, but only starting to build, really, with influencing and being people in front of the camera or whatever, but on their phones. And so it ended up anyway, I started. And then I said, you know what? Why don't I do some Instagram lives? So I pulled in, like, when you know people in the industry, I said, you know what, flip this, hardly anyone's going to say no.
And they're all bored doing nothing in COVID as well.
They're all bored, they're all at home, and nobody said no. No matter who I rang that I knew through the business, whether it was TV, whether it was radio, whether it was through owning boutiques, whatever the case may be, I rang people and I interviewed them. And I started doing Instagram Lives every Thursday night. Okay. And they were brilliant. Yeah. They were really good. And it just, that's probably how it all started.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah. That's,
and that's how the platform agency came about then?
Yeah, sure. My husband thought it was complete nuts. And I said, sure, you always knew that when you were with me. But, but I literally sat down and I just said, you know what? While Catwalk is, to keep Catwalk ticking, what I did do, and I do want to mention this because our models were amazing because they're all self-employed. They all, any job is a bonus. But they were all now at home and feeling the hit. A lot of them are in college. Mm. So I was ringing them, making sure they're okay on a daily basis. We set up fitness classes online once a week that we all met and to make sure that they were all okay. But then what I decided to do was a lot of shops, which a lot of people don't realise, a lot of shops rightly got caught at the beginning of COVID because most of them didn't have websites.
Yes.
And they weren't online presence. Mm. So they weren't selling stock.
Mm.
So I rang 42 shops from all around the country, got them to send clothes to the models' homes.
Wow.
And the models started doing videos for themselves.
Yeah.
Send the videos back to me. My 14-year-old son at the time started putting all the fashion shows together and we started sending out fashion shows online as well. Now, that was all free. No money exchanged hands, nothing. And it was to help people with their businesses and to sell.
Wow.
And it gave the models a purpose of getting up, getting dressed up and whatever. Now, that was amazing. And that really worked well. And we did that for weeks on end.
And I think that the goodwill comes back. And
it did. And it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you've got one of the biggest books in the country.
Yeah. I mean, so then the platform was born. I decided to open up a second business in the middle of the whole thing. And then I said, okay, everyone seems to be online.
Yeah.
That's the reason I decided to go the influencer and content creating route of people to have in my books. And I opened up the platform by, I went back to college, the oldest swinger in town, literally. It was mortifying. That was gas. Because I went, and because it was online as well.
Yeah. To do what? Digital marketing?
I did digital marketing. Because I said, there's no point, I can't sell something to a brand unless I know it and know about it.
Yeah.
So I said, I can't sit here and wing this. I had to go back. Went back online. I was the oldest swinger in town, of course. But you're listening anyway. But it stood to me. It was amazing. I learned so much. Opened up the platform by MM where we took on content creators. And to be fair about it, since that day, I have never looked back.
You've got some really interesting people in your books, from not just in Ireland, they're all over. Like, you've women in New York and Australia and all over. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention any names, so I won't.
Listen, a quick Google and people find out. Now, listen, we're here to talk about beauty, tweakments, treatments, procedures, the whole nine yards. So,
you're saying I really need a head to toe done over to
us. I run a modelling agency. Okay, so you're coming at it from the mom point of view, right? And then you're also obviously a woman yourself. And very attractive, and you want to keep yourself looking fresh and fabulous. So you're looking at this from both perspectives.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on? First of all, what have you had done?
I have had Botox done, but that's it.
That's it.
Yeah,
come on,
for Christ's sake.
No, that is actually
nothing else.
No, I've never had anything else done. I haven't gone the filler route.
Mm.
I feel I don't want to go the filler route.
Why?
I'm terrified of it.
Ah, that's
because you've seen such bad work?
Yes.
Okay.
And I feel, oh my God. And then I feel I'm at the age I'm at and I embrace my age. I did, now when I turned, I don't mind telling anyone my age, I'm actually 52. I'll be 53 in September. But Jesus, if you were with me when I turned 50, I was so hormonal. I was really, I went on my first girl holiday on my 50th and I cried the whole way to Portugal. It was actually embarrassing. But anyways, but I got over it because I just felt, God almighty, I'm 50.
It's funny, when I Googled you, the first thing that comes up is, how old is Mandy?
Oh God, thanks. Thank you, Nikki.
But I think it's because people don't know.
Yeah.
You're quite deceptive because you could be in your 20s, you could be in your 30s, you wouldn't know really.
Yeah, I have good genes in a way because my mother would be a very glamorous woman but also would always have looked very young. But yeah, I've been good. But I would look after my skin now and saying that I'd be great for having my facials done and things like that. And then obviously, yeah, I've had Botox. I have had Botox done. I'm not going to deny that. But
lasers?
No lasers, no nothing. Yes.
Yeah. Look at those gnashers.
But you know what I have to mention about my teeth? Funnily enough, I got my teeth done by Galway Dental Group. They were amazing. And
with
Vanessa and Lisa. Yeah. They're the just sisters, fans. Yeah. They're fantastic girls. Yeah. And if you don't know them, I'd honestly... They're amazing girls.
Yeah.
Everything. They have the most incredible practice in Galway. They obviously have Spotlight as well, as we all
great
know.
Great tech as well, though.
And the girls invited me to come into their dentistry in Galway. And I went, oh, okay. And I thought, God, were my teeth? I always thought my teeth were okay, to be honest with you. I never thought in that bed. But then they started going, Jesus Christ. I'm not very overwhelmed. I went, oh, my God. So they had recommended getting the composite bonding done.
Yes.
And they did my top and bottom teeth.
Both. Okay. The whole lot of
literally,
them.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have to say, they videoed me on the bed because I obviously hadn't seen them, my teeth, until they were finished. And the reaction on that video is actually what my reaction was, because I actually started crying because I always thought my teeth were fairly good.
Yeah.
But God, when I saw the end result, just there in November.
Yeah. I was about to say, so they're only new.
They're new, and okay. I love them. And I never realised.
Yeah.
I actually never realised how much it completely changed
how
I look. I think they're fantastic. And honestly, it was the best thing I ever did.
On the full teeth? Yeah.
Yeah, all the teeth.
Composites?
No, composite bonding. Yeah, bonding. Top and bottom, yeah.
Okay.
I think there were 17 or 18 teeth that were done.
Your teeth are straight.
Yeah.
They're lovely.
Fairly good teeth.
So did they even them out? At the end or anything?
No, very little, because my teeth would have been fairly straight anyway. So
they just tweaked them up.
Yeah.
And all in the chair, how long were you there?
I was in the day before to get them prepped or whatever.
Yeah,
and
they rough them up.
Yes,
don't they
do. Yeah. But they still don't
take
away the enamel. So that's important that people realise your own teeth underneath are still perfect.
Yeah.
And then the following day I went in. I was about 3.5 hours, the longest time I ever stayed quiet. Oh, Jesus, that nearly killed me. Because you don't really want to be telling a story or saying something. And when I was there, that was the longest, the hardest part, actually. But
You love it. For people,
thank you.
For listeners who don't know, composite bonding is like a resin / polyfiller that dentists can place on top of the tooth, and they can shape it and mold it into an ideal tooth shape. It's great if you have jagged edges or if you have a little
gap,
or even just for evening out the tooth. And it's nowhere near as invasive as veneers. It's a million times cheaper. It's about €200 to €300 a tooth.
Depends. You can get. It's not even that expensive.
Is
per
it not?
No,
it not? I think it depends on the dentist.
Yeah,
and how many are getting done?
I think you're talking about from €60.
Ah, no, it's not that cheap.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe in Galway, but it's definitely not that cheap in Dublin. And however, I've had it done twice. Okay. I've had it done twice in my lifetime every year. And as a grinder, it does not last.
You're on grinder. Sorry, the real fess up. You're on grinder.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah, I'm on grinder. No, as a grinder, someone who grinds their teeth at night, like unbeknownst to myself, and I've tried everything. I've tried the Botox. I've worn the retainer type thing to stop me grinding. I've had little weird things put on my ears. Nothing works. I don't know what I do. I pop everything out and I grind the crap out of my teeth. And I ground the
composite
off really quickly. I don't think I got more than a year out of it.
Okay.
And then I had to veneer them. By the way.
Okay.
So I'm all for composite bonding, but just as a word of caution for anyone out there, if you are a grinder, think long and hard before doing it, because it is not necessarily a long-term fix and you might end up down the veneer road, which, oh, by the way,
I'm not a long-term fix
for everybody. I'm just saying, if you're like me, I'm a very bad grinder. So,
but what if you're just getting the composite bonding on the front, which is...
You'll still grind it because you go like that.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it's not a great option. But as I said, it's a very affordable fix for many people and it's very transformative, do you know?
Oh, I love the best thing I ever did.
Really, yeah.
If anyone says, cosmetic wise, what's the best thing you ever did, and without a shadow of a doubt, was getting my teeth done.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And what about the body? Anything done to the bod?
No.
You're in great nick, mate, to be fair. You're in great.
Thanks.
I saw you in a fancy guna there at some awards there recently.
Besides the old hormones kicking in and the old weight fluctuating.
Really?
But, oh, yeah, it's manic.
From the menopause?
I'm perimenopause. Still starting out, as the saying goes, but it's playing puck with my weight.
Really?
Are
you on the HRT?
No.
No,
I'm not. I'm not on anything. And my doctor doesn't recommend me to go on it yet because I have no severe symptoms at all. I actually don't. So
weight gain is a severe symptom. Crying
all your way through your Portuguese holiday.
Greece girls, you've given me a complex now. And I have about 2 hours to drive to think to myself, going back to Galway. Thank you.
Could have
gone
back and ride.
Call again. I'll be ringing the doctor on the way down and these two telling me I'm going crazy.
No, but a lot of doctors say that. They say, oh, you don't have enough symptoms, and then you're going to go, actually, there's 75 symptoms.
They probably wouldn't agree. My husband probably wouldn't agree at home. But
yeah, and I think you know yourself. The other thing, like, this isn't supposed to be a menopause podcast, obviously.
obviously, but people don't realise that obviously when your oestrogen drops,
yeah.
it's not just women going doolally and weight gain. There's so many other things that happen to your body when oestrogen plateaus. It's like your muscles degenerate, mm-hmm. your bones degenerate, your cardiac system gets clogged yeah. up because your oestrogen is actually a natural cleanser of the cholesterol. So your cholesterol levels can go up. So being on HRT is not just to control the symptoms as such, it also helps
other things.
In other things, yeah. It stops general aging as well. So
definitely won't hesitate going on HRT yeah. though. I would have no problem with it at all.
I can't wait to go on it.
I feel like
I need to go on it. They won't give it to me until I've a clear breast check, but I'm mad for it. I'm stuck.
Yeah, but we would jump on any pharmaceutical bandwagon. Literally, yeah. We are absolute.
I'm a pharmaceutical
junkie.
Marketeer's dream.
Yeah.
I need a day with you.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You'll be coming
she's already, this one's already said, Nikki's already sorting me out from head to toe. You stopped and I hardly sat in the chair.
Now tell me about your models, right? So all the people you have in your books, right? So surely that they're coming to you now saying, especially the younger girl, like going, I'd say a lot, I don't know, I'm just being like
presumptuous
here. Do a lot of them get the lips done? And you're going, stop it. Do you have any rules saying no
to
treatments
honest,
without talking
I
to
you? I don't.
No.
But, and I actually don't. It's a good question. I don't have any rules, but models have to remember they're being booked for their natural beauty.
Yeah.
And I've had one or two over the past. They've got too much work done, but people stop booking them.
Yeah.
Because they actually just don't look natural.
And do you rein it in and say, girls?
100%.
Yeah.
It would have to be reined in because otherwise people are booking for natural beauty. It's easy work with a makeup artist to work wonders if they need to get extra, make them look
contoured,
extra amazing or whatever. But without a shadow of a doubt, I think I have a thing about girls getting Botox or getting much work done in their early 20s. I think it's, personally, I think there's no need for it. Mm. That's my own opinion on it.
Okay.
Bar maybe the basics, I would say if you need to get teeth done, that'd be the first thing I would say on any agency's book is the first thing you nearly look at on anyone. Would I be against it? I'm not against it, but I would say I just don't see the need of anyone young wanting to get much cosmetic work done. Okay. That's just my opinion on it.
And then what about the older ones, like over 30s? I hate saying over 30s is over.
I would definitely say there'd be girls in our books over 30s that have had a bit of work done.
Yeah, when you say a bit, what do you mean a bit?
Probably a bit of Botox, but that's it.
We wouldn't call that a bit of work. We just
call a facelift a bit of work.
Oh yeah, no, there's nobody on our books. There's actually nobody on our books that have had a full facelift.
Really? To your knowledge?
No.
Not yet.
Well, Jesus. Well, to my knowledge,
I'm pretty sure there's one girl on your books who's had a facelift. Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll have a word on that one later.
And what about you have models that are like flat-chested and suddenly come arrive with like giant knockers and you're like, whoa, didn't have them on our last footage.
Yeah, no, I've again like that, nobody has had boobs done.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, Jesus. Like, they're obviously much more natural in Galway, I think, than... Do you find that?
Funny enough, I'm not. I'm actually... Well, our models are actually based nearly everywhere, bar Galway, actually.
Okay.
I've had models in Galway, of course I do.
Yeah.
It's her home base, but the most of my models are actually in Dublin.
And
they're all over the country.
Okay.
And yeah.
So they're not...
I like that now. If they wanted to get the boobs, I actually wouldn't have a problem with that because some people just have a complaint about their boobs and if that's how they feel and they want to get more confident in themselves, would I be against it? No.
No, okay.
All the models are like my kids.
I know.
I'm not being funny.
But now it is.
I adore my crew
definitely
and I would do
it
for
it's definitely
fun.
Changed
it's
now.
It's definitely changed.
Yeah.
And obviously, like brands and magazines and everywhere once they want diversity and inclusivity. They want people to look different. They want different. They don't want this.
Are you seeing that? Do you see that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And I think also as well as that, like even one thing you'd be saying about I would always advise models, obviously, they should be eating healthy. They should be exercising, drinking plenty of water, all the things, the basic things you'd expect them to do. And they have to be turning up fresh and looking the part.
Yeah.
That's the gigging that they do. Mm. But never in my 27 years have I ever, and I never will till I take my dying breath, tell a model to lose weight.
Really?
Ever.
No.
I never would. If they're a size 8 or if they're a size 18 or 20, I don't care because it's work for all of them.
Okay.
So it makes absolutely no odds to us.
Are you finding that they're getting work across the board, regardless of size, shape,
100%.
Skin tone, whatever?
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
And even what I love about the fashion show side of our business is that generally speaking, it's myself that would choose the girls or whatever to do a show or the guys indeed. But I would always make sure that there's a good diverse range of models.
Yeah.
So I will have your mature model, I will have your black model. Mm. I will have your plus size model. I would make sure across the board, always on every show,
that everyone's
and
represented.
I think everybody's represented, and rightly so. And it needs to be done. And I think it's about time the fashion industry copped onto all that. To be honest,
I think they paid lip service and then they dip in and out of it. And they're like, oh, we're all on board. And then before you know it, everyone's back to size 8, tall, willowy looking models. And it's, I don't know. It's, I just feel like we go around in circles with it.
But like, you even take the like of, say, fashion on TV, which you know, I do Ireland AM every couple of weeks or whatever, for fashion or whatever. Even on that, it's vital. You people watching fashion, whether it's on magazines, TV, whatever, it people want to relate to that model.
Yeah.
So if they're seeing somebody, that, of course, and we have them, we've the most, I've a couple of my girls modelling abroad and doing really well.
Yeah.
But like that, then that's a different kettle of fish. Yeah. And literally it is. But like, you want people to be able to look at an outfit and say, do you know what? I think that's going to suit me. So if you have a size 16 model on the TV in the morning, people love it.
Yeah.
Because they want to see.
It's really changed.
And it's where we are. And if you take the average size, particularly in Ireland, because I have a saying, the models laugh at me. I says, lads, we're not in Milan or Paris here now.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
don't be losing the run of yourself. That's why I tell them, because and it has to be relatable.
What is the average size in Ireland? 14?
The average size would be 12, 14,
yeah.
Give 14, you, probably even more.
I'll give you a fess up confession.
Yeah.
I was the Simply Be.
Oh, yeah. Are you?
Plus size model.
Icky.
Catalogue model. Back in first, second and third year college.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I set you up with that.
But I'll tell you, I used to get paid really well.
Loads of money,
I got 10 grand to do a catalogue. That's now, I was in college, right? And 10 grand was a lot of money. It used to pay for me. I'd go off, basically, every summer I'd go off in these little jaunts. But I always remember I did the underwear part of it. And I didn't tell anyone. I never told a soul I was on that, right? And I remember I got outed by Celia Holm and Lee on Ireland AM one day. Anyhow, but so when I was, I'd have to go and do the underwear things, but I was like, just keep my face out of the underwear ones because my dad would have absolutely lost his life. But, and I was only probably a size 12, maybe 14 at 20. And I was the plus size model, which is mad, I think, back in the day.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that definitely wouldn't be considered a plus size with us now, wouldn't be.
But Instagram has changed it all as well, because people get on and they're like, here, do my try-ons with me, and they're not model sizes, and they're not model, which is great, because people say, actually, that person looks extremely stylish or great or fantastic.
Probably took off, Liz.
Yeah.
That's exactly why the Instagram pages took off.
Yeah, you're going, she looks great. And she's not a size 8, 5'9", 12-year-old young one. Do you know what I mean? So, and I could wear that.
What do you think of the kind of genericness that's happening in people's looks and faces, because they're all getting a lot of the same stuff done?
They are.
Do you think that there's a bit of a samey look?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like fashion. So it's like, why would you all want to look the same?
I know.
Yeah.
But we go through phases, right, where we all like want to.
Well, we all want to look fresh.
Yeah.
So even including myself, I feel absolutely exhausted sitting here in front of the two of you at the moment. You're probably looking and thinking, the heck of this.
Not
one,
you look anyway, the same.
It's I all
moms
think
are all,
we
all,
and especially the older you get, and now I would be definitely more conscious of it, because you. It's not that I know I'm no longer 20, but still in saying that, I think. I believe you don't need money to look well.
Have you, have you done any other lasers or anything like that, like lasers for your skin?
Not
or your
a thing.
Face?
You're very low maintenance. Actually.
Very low maintenance.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah. You're actually probably the most low maintenance person we've had in here.
Do you do, like, what do you do your hair? What about the hair?
Oh, Jesus, the hair is coloured every 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
But no extensions or no?
No.
She's actually, we have an actual natural beauty.
Yeah, well, you consider it natural now in our eyes.
Thank you. No extensions.
Okay. Eating healthy, what else do you need to do to look good on the cheap, as you said?
No, nothing really, but I do believe in getting good makeup.
Yeah.
Particularly good foundation.
Yes.
I'm a huge believer, and I do believe in using good creams as well.
Do you?
I do.
What do you use?
I will not answer that, Finn. I'll tell you why I won't answer for you, because it's actually Angela that gives me the products.
You don't even know what
and
she gives
you? Don't even know what I just slap it on. I know I'd use SkinCeuticals actually after most treatments with her.
Okay, so she has Kino, Casamara, and EK Septon. Angela's very...
That's it.
Yeah, EK Septon.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah, so that is at least a clinical,
I just...
Well, that's interesting, and it's that you go to the same person, you trust her, and I think Irish people are bad at that, but we tend to be like hoary when it comes to our...
For injectors.
Not just injectors, but beauticians as well, because if you go to the same beautician and you trust them, they will know your skin and they will know what works for your skin and your skin type, and they'll know how you look after you've had a baby or you've had a divorce or whatever it is. They'll know your skin throughout the years and they'll know what works for you. And And people tend to go, oh, look, I'll go somewhere new, they're better. And that's not necessarily the case, because the original, the beauty,
the OG,
the OGs know you well, and they know what's going to work and what's not going to work and what's going to work for your lifestyle.
Does she stick you under devices and things like that?
Bar the lead mask I've had, she uses that. But what I love about her is that she does know my skin.
Yeah.
And she's worked with me through the ages as well. And she knows exactly when I have a big event on, you need to
go away.
She's already plans out of when I get done what. So she has me prepped and ready for a day. And that's what, and I trust her implicitly.
Would you go for like lovely facials before the races and stuff?
Yeah, I always would.
Really?
Yeah.
And the fake tan?
And if I'm a massive fan of fake tan all the time. Yeah. I use Bella Mianta.
Me too.
Brand ambassador, proud brand ambassador with Bella Mianta. I've been with them for a couple of years, and it's not because of that. I actually just think it's the most incredible tan in the market.
I love Bella Mianta.
I was using Bella Mianta for a long time, and then I went to the Be Perfect launch in Galway. And
you're on that 10-minute tan now, right?
Michelle Ragazzoli gave me this 10-second tan thing, and I was like, oh, yeah. You know when you get these things?
Yeah.
Anyway, I ran out of the Bella Mianta one day, and I was like, oh God, I've no tan. I have to go to this thing, and I lashed this thing on. I love it ever since.
Once you find a tan that suits your skin type, I think that's important.
Do you think we're all mad though for the tan in Ireland? Like, I mean, we're mad.
We are.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I'm sorry now. I can't do the white thing. I need tan. If you want to look or feel any bit right at all,
I think it's a very Irish problem. Literally yesterday I was bleaching my sheets and my bed sheets and my duvet covers and everything, and I hung them out in the line. And I haven't hung things out in the line for ages because it's been winter, right? And I could see. I was like, even after the bleach, all you could see was this mark around. It looked like a crime scene, basically. And I was like, I bleached them. I put them on a 60-degree wash, and they're still.
We need to get
dirty,
onto ready Oxford glow or linen bundle or whatever.
We need to make them with
mink. Mink colour. That's what all the sheets should be like, mink colour.
So but it mightn't work with your bedroom. But either way, they're freaking disgusting. And I'm 36 now. I've been using fake tan since I was.
You're 36, are you?
Yeah, 46, sorry.
I was like, are you now? That lie just rolled out of your mouth quite easily.
Again, I've been using fake tan since I was 12. I got Egyptian Wonder when I was 12 years of age.
Remember?
Egyptian Wonder. You're going back in time.
Mom, and I've been wearing fake tan like longer than any.
Do you remember the sun shimmer? That was.
Yeah, a sun shimmer was brilliant.
I always remember Liz going to Deep Nightclub, or what was it called? Hollywood Nights. Back in the day, like that'll tell you. Going back a few years. But I always remember, because I was younger and I'd have to tan her back. But we didn't have mitts or anything like that. And your hands would
orange.
Black. Like, we'd be desperate. And you'd be like, oh, it's desperate. But I'm sure you've got the girls coming in.
All the girls. There's a couple that don't wear tan.
Yeah. That's
but
it.
Yeah, and, very, are they, and that's because
are they shooed off? To
do you know, what it is though? It's their look.
They have
a look that it has to be pale, and it goes with them.
But
and
when pale you see skin them, it is works.
Beautiful. It is fabulous. We just need
to but not our kind of pale, right? So my pale skin looks like burned beef.
Yeah, it is not without tan.
Pale, white, and beautiful, and porcelain, and that lovely pale Asian.
Yeah.
I have a couple of girls on the books, and they're actually one of them has actually graced the cover of, or not the cover, but she's graced the pages of Elle magazine.
Yeah.
But she's Snow White.
Snow White, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But beautiful.
And again, we go over to Dubai, and our friends are like, they are head to toe in like hats and umbrellas and everything. They're like, they want to keep their beautiful Irish white skin, because they're like, over here, this is like gold dust. Yeah. You know, it's such a commodity, you know.
So funny. We're like, tell us.
No. Like, where's the baby oil?
That's the other thing. I don't sunbathe anymore.
Anymore.
I used to be
anymore.
A big fan. Well, I was a huge, never, not sunbeds, but sun. I adore the sun. But I am at factor 50 now out in the sun, I have to say.
We all have to do it.
I just said, you know what? Suffering around them for getting burnt and dying, the whole lot that goes with it for. And I just said, I just put on my tan anymore.
But you still enjoy sitting out in the sun?
Love
enjoy
it. It does the heart good. It does
everything good. Your soul. And your bones.
No, it does. There's no doubt.
There's that really interesting doctor that I'd love to interview now. This guy over in Canada, whose name escapes me now.
He's
built his whole career on saying, his whole thing is every living cell in the world needs sunshine to live. So there's no organism in the world that can live without sunshine. And that SPF and all this madness that we're all on is going to be basically like this
the smoking of our generation.
Yeah, I know. And that's
And that's why we all have these vitamin deficiencies and
osteo problems,
fertility problems.
Yeah, there's a whole host of problems that are coming in, and they say they found SPF in like umbilical cords of pregnant moms and everything, babies. Okay. The babies hadn't even been born, and they had elements of SPF in their blood system.
Which I know this is totally unrelated, but I did read an article yesterday about their testing men's testicles for microplastics, and 100%. Of the men tested had plastic, microplastics
in their testicles. Yeah, I know.
God, okay. I know.
Like what?
But it's been in breast tissue. It's in everything. That's not a new stat.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it
it's
is terrible. Scary. Yeah, but on that note, we're going completely off track. Have you any last questions you'd like to ask us?
No. Oh, I'm having a day out with the two of you is all I'm telling you. I think I could stay up and dropping for the evening with you now.
You can. This. We're going to barbecue. Come with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Celebrate Ed's birthday.
Happy birthday, Ed.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. And
Nikki and Liz, thank you both for having me.
And we've been, like, it's been a pleasure, and no doubt our paths will
cross.
I'm going to lock you down the floor and slather you in estrogen.
Yeah. I'm going to get a laser.
Yeah.
Come on, Mary.
Stick a few estrogen patches on her way home.
She'll go home.
I'm not on the menopause.
She'll go home. She'll be like, God, I feel great. It's a fabulous.
You know, we're going to get called like HRT pushers now.
Oh, God. Yeah. Are people patrolling us going, would you let the woman look naturally beautiful? Yeah. You're like, none of us look naturally beautiful. I bet your husband says, oh, you look so beautiful, natural.
No, because if he does, then I'm saying, what do you want? So it's kind of no, seriously, I've gone beyond all that. Trust
my husband thinks that he says to me all the time, he goes, oh, you look so, I loved it. You're such a natural beauty. And I laugh. I'm like, I have fake eyelashes, fake hair. Everything's waxed, lasered, Botox.
So funny.
It's terrible, anyway. We have to laugh. But on that note, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And
to you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Okay, this is my favourite section of the podcast, Loose Lips, where we try to answer queries that you guys send in, or even just tales of your aesthetic adventures. The WhatsApp number is on our show notes, and it's also on our bio in our Instagram. So please get in touch with anything you want to talk about.
Hey girls, how are you? Just want to say, love the podcast, love what you're doing. It's so nice to have a forum where you can address things like this, because some of it is still hush, and especially love the celeb section. It's amazing. Like, what have you done? Tell us. We want to look like you. So really thinking about a little lip plump, and I know it's probably one of the most dangerous or not the best one to have done, or hear different reports. What can you tell me about it? I'd love to know more. Not a big lip at all. Just, I'm in my 40s, just something to put a bit of volume back in. Kissy lips, a little bit of colour, or would you recommend getting like a lip blush? Yeah, I'd take all the advice. Thanks so much. Love you guys.
Thanks so much for that.
Can I address the lip blush first?
Yeah.
Did you not get this done?
I meant to get it done. I went before Christmas and the girl never showed up. And I'm glad it didn't happen.
I'm glad you didn't.
First of all, it takes hours. It's like a full on lip tattoo. And people I know who have had it done, you have to sit there for 3 or 4 hours and not say a word. I couldn't cope. And have someone poke your lips that long, I don't think I'd be
okay. Well, aside from the actual treatment process, what do you think of the
results? Don't know. I haven't seen great results, I have to say. I think the colour looks very, I don't know, it never looks quite, I know it's not supposed to look natural, but it just doesn't really.
Yeah, not mad at it either. Yeah. I think there's a bit of a look.
Not feeling the vibe.
No, for me it's a bit.
It looks really bright for the first few days. You have a million colours you can choose from.
Yeah.
Like going into a lipstick counter. And in theory, your lips lose their colour as you get older. So it is a good way of bringing colour back in. You can't go over the line. I thought it'd be good to cheat when you go with your lip liner. You can't do that. It has to stay within the lip line. So that automatically was like, that was half the reason I was thinking about this. It's also, it's €500 and you need to go for a top up. I know some people who like it, but personally, I'm not entirely convinced.
You're not a big lipstick wearer though, neither am I.
I wear lip liner all the freaking time.
Yeah,
with lip gloss, because I have such little pillar box lips, I have no lips. And I'm, to be honest, my lips are so non-existent, I'm like, why would I be drawing any more attention to them? Do you know?
Yeah. So our take on the lip blush is meh. On the fence.
Yeah. What about the other options are obviously filler.
Filler.
Go for it, but make sure.
Especially at the age. I think filler has to, lip filler is the, it's the line that women in their 40s cross that make them look done.
Again, it depends on who's doing it, how much you put in. Some people just put in a little bit in the middle of it, and it can just be for hydration. Do you know what I mean? It's not necessarily getting them done around. It's the scale of someone going in around the border, how they do it. There's a million different ways, but the barbaric way that people, like the cheap, quick lip flip.
Yeah, Lizzie lip filler.
Lizzie lip filler, as you keep calling me. Generally, you get the side profile looks odd, basically.
Yeah, they look like
it looks grand on Instagram, but then from the side.
It's a tiny bit done well by a very skilled medic. Third option is
a lip flip,
which is use Botox to relax the muscle in your top lip, which stops your top lip from curling upwards and giving you a thin smile or a gummy smile. So a tiny bit of Botox well placed around your mouth will give you a very natural, relaxed look.
Yeah, it makes your upper lip look bigger, basically. And it can, if you get it done in the outer corners of your smile, it can turn the mouth upwards so you look more pleasant, basically.
Again, towards the 40s and the 50s, we naturally, our mouth starts to naturally downturn.
Yeah, on the outer corners.
And we get the old resting bitch face.
Yeah.
So a little bit of well-placed Botox around the whole mouth is a good fix.
Yeah, only short-term, unfortunately, but it'll help for 3 or 4 months. Can we have another question?
Hey girls, how are you? My name is Laura. I am from Dublin 4. I just wanted to find out about the face threads, the facial threads. Oh. Is that it? Threading on the inside to lift the jowls. So I just think it looks really interesting, but I'm a bit unsure about how it would feel once they're in my face. And reports of afterwards, getting the treatment done again, anything like that would just be so helpful. Really appreciate it. Love it. Kiss, kiss.
Threads, what are your thoughts?
Personally, I would never do them.
Why?
I think I'd like, if I ever wanted to do a facelift, it mitigates you ever really being able to do them. Secondly, if they go wrong, they go so wrong, like so wrong.
Yes.
And thirdly, they're very hard to control. In terms of, even in the best hands, they're hard to control the outcome.
Yeah. Now, there is loads of different types of threads, just for anyone listening. There's threads that people might see on Instagram, and they're the little pink plastic endings.
Yeah, but that's basically
they're just collagen stimulating needles.
Yeah, they're not actually, really
they're
threads.
They're not really threads. No. The threads I think this girl is talking about is the ones that they literally anchor in your kind of around your jowl, under your skin, and then they lift it up. So it kind of mimics what a facelift does, but it's a short-term fix.
Very few candidates that it suits.
And it's also superficial. So generally just works on the skin. And when you're trying to lift the face, you need to be looking at, a surgeon will tell you, you need to be looking at the skin, the muscular structure, the fascia, and all the underlying layers. So there's about a couple of inches of stuff that needs to be repositioned and rehung. And the threads generally only work on the top layer. And they do give this good, instant, quick effect. Mm. Again, like, I've known plastic surgeons who use them, and they use them very effectively.
I've seen amazing results.
They're cheaper, obviously, than a facelift. You're talking a couple of grand. A facelift now is anywhere around the 30 grand mark. You're not committing to them for the rest of your life, obviously, as well. So that may be a bonus, depending on more your perspective. However, I know people who've had them, and I know one girl in particular, and they snapped. So she had them in and snapped on one side of her face, and she actually said she felt the snapping while she was talking. She was up giving presentation and it snapped, and she was like, oh my God.
And they're the really thick barb ones. Like, they're serious ones.
So there's lots of different genres of threads on the market as well. So again, if you are considering them, make sure you go to someone who is reputable. They're using a good...
Well, do you know who's actually very good at them? If you are going to go to somebody who's doing threads and doing them well, it's Cormac Lynch. So Cormac Lynch does good threads. He does those good mint threads, and he does them particularly well. And
I know, like, Colm O'Riordan, who's a plastic surgeon, he uses them as well. There's a few of the plastic surgeons do use them, and they use them with other techniques as well. But again, as a standalone treatment to lift your jowls, to lift your face, I would be very reluctant personally to do it. That's my take on it.
I'd agree.
That's a wrap for another episode of Fess Up. Thank you, Mandy, for coming all the way from Galway to give us all your insights. We'll be back next week, as always, with more aesthetic advice and adventures in the land of beauty.
And as always, this wouldn't be possible without thanks to our sponsor, the Fifth Avenue Clinic. Where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie. Thanks, guys.
With Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sp- sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.